Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with our look at the inscriptions on the door of Jannah, in order to be able to instill in ourselves the qualities of Ahlul Jannah, today we will look at the third door of Jannah, on which the inscription says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حِيلَةٌ وَحِيلَةُ الصَّحَّةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَرْبَعُ خِصَالٍ. Everything has a means of attainment, and to attain a healthy life in the world, one must adopt four qualities: قِلَّةُ الْكَلَامِ, قِلَّةُ الْمَنَامِ, قِلَّةُ الْمَشِي, وَقِلَّةُ الطَّعَامِ. Less talking, less sleeping, less wanting, and less eating. Well, let's look at each one. Not easy things to follow. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ الْقَلَامِ قَلَّ وَدَلَّ. The best of speeches or talks is short and effective. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam said that your speech is under your control as long as you do not speak. But when you speak, you come under its control. So guard your tongue as you guard your gold and silver. For many a word is a blessing, but leads to displeasure. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the most valuable thing Allah has given us is the tongue. None of his messengers were given wealth or position through which to convey his message, but were given the eloquence of the tongue. And we're told that we must speak little with people, but much with Allah. Perhaps then one's heart will recognize him. Again, I like to quote the Ma'sumin, because Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that whoever talks a lot makes many mistakes. Whoever makes many mistakes loses his modesty. And whoever loses his modesty loses his accuracy. And whoever loses his accuracy, his heart dies. And one whose heart is dead enters Jahannam. It's quite a strong statement and one to think about. But basically the bottom line is, think before you speak. Because what you said, the words, will just go marching on in time. And they're always there. I'd like to read a poem about words, soft words. In a lullaby, put a baby to sleep. Hateful words stir violence. Eloquent words will send armies into the face of death. Encouraging words will fan the flame of a genius, making a Salman or a Jabir. Powerful words will mould the public mind as the sculptor moulds his clay. Words spoken or written are a dynamic force. Words are the swords we use in battles for success and happiness. How others react towards us depends in a large measure upon the words we utter to them. Life is a great whispering gallery that sends back echoes of the words we send out. Our words are immortal. They go marching through the years in the lives of all those with whom we come into contact. For words will survive us. And if we look at Surah Ibrahim, Surah number 14, Ayah 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alam tara kayfa daraballahu mathalan kalimatan tayyibatan kashajaratin tayyibatin asluha thabitun wa far'aha fis samai tu'ti ukulaha kulla hinan bi'idhni rabbiha. Have you not considered how Allah sets forth the parable of a good word being like a good tree, whose root is firm and whose branches are in heaven, yielding its fruit in every season with the permission of its nourisher? Let's look at the other aspects. Less sleep. Imam Sadiq says, there are three things that Allah does not like in a person: too much sleeping, too much laughing, and eating after the stomach is full. See, there are two kinds of sleep. There is the beneficial sleep, which is necessary for the body and helps it to regain strength and energy. And then there's that harmful sleep, which causes a lack of vitality, which increases laziness and obstructs normal brain activities. And we've got to learn about it. We learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to adapt or adopt to beneficial sleep. After Isha, he used to go to sleep and then wake up in the second half of the night. He would pray Salatul Layl, known as Namaz Ishab, and other Musta'abat Salah, and then go to the mosque for Salatul Fajr. After dawn, if he felt tired, he would have a short rest. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that one can recognize the house of a mu'min by the fact that the lights in their houses are switched off after Isha and come on just before Fajr. The Prophet ﷺ has told us never to sleep on our stomachs, nor sleep on a full stomach. So there are many, many adab, as you might want to call it, or mannerisms that assist in beneficial sleep rather than harmful sleep. The third quality was less wanting. Rasulullah ﷺ has said that Allah says, when my abd, when the one who's connected to me, prefers his desire over my wish, I put his affairs into confusion. I make his life confused in the world and his heart preoccupied with the world. But if he prefers my wish over his desire, the angels protect him. The earth guarantees his sustenance, and I look after his affairs and bring the world to him, although it may be reluctant to do so. And this brings about a very famous anecdote. It's said that the renowned scholar Abu Sina, known as Avicenna in the West, once looked with scorn at a poor man eating leftover leaves from a grocer's shop. And the man greeted him and said, "What is the contempt for? You are the slave of my slaves." And Abu Sina could not understand what the man was saying. And the poor man explained, he said, "Oh Abu Sina, you are the slave of your desires, that is the wanting of good food, whilst desires are my slaves, therefore you are the slave of my slaves." And Abu Sina realized the wisdom of the man's words, and he quotes them. See, if we're always wanting all the time, we'll always be busy in anxiety and worry and sorrow, because we'll always feel that whatever we have is not enough. And finally, less eating. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Do not extend your hand to food unless you're really hungry. Stop eating before you're full, because being always full gives rise to various diseases." In the advice that Hazrat Luqman gave to his son, he says, "My son, when the stomach of a person is full, their faculty of thinking goes to sleep. The tongue of wisdom becomes dumb and the limbs fail to do the ibadah of Allah." There's a wonderful anecdote again from the reign of Harun Rashid. There was a well-known Christian doctor who lived in Baghdad, and he once went to visit an alim called Waqidi and asked him about health issues in the Quran. And Waqidi quoted the ayah of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, this is ayah 31, "Eat and drink, but do not be wasteful." The doctor asked whether there were any ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding health. And Waqidi said that the Prophet said the stomach is the seat of all diseases and the best of medicines is less eating. And the doctor said, "Islam, in a brief and basic rule, has stated the prevention and cure of all diseases." Recommendations on diet include not to eat between breakfast and dinner. In fact, the Prophet says not to eat breakfast. That means if you don't have breakfast and you don't have dinner, then it's harmful to health, to your health. But to eat in between is harmful. It's amazing. So much advice. Inshallah, we will look at Risalat al-Dhahabiyya at some stage. We will look at the manners or the advice given by Imam Ridha alayhi salam on food. Inshallah, we will continue with the inscriptions on the door of Jannah in the days to come.